This sermon is titled, The Anointing Destroys the Yoke, Anointing of the Holy Spirit, Part 5. Be enriched as you listen.
We are continuing our study on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we've been on this for 4 Sundays. Today is the 5th. And we have 2 more sermons that we wanted to do. And yet, in spite of these 7 Sundays, we still won't be necessarily delving into all there is in the scriptures on the anointing. There's a lot more, and you know, just working on putting it all together in a book, and so that'll have a lot more that you can study on your own. Just to quickly recap the journey that we've made so far on our very first sermon in this series. We emphasize that there is the anointing within and the anointing upon. And we need to understand the dynamics of both. The anointing within is for us, our own personal benefit. The anointing upon is for us to really be empowered to serve other people. In part 2, we talked about how we are, the anointing supernaturally empowers us. That means the anointing enables us to go beyond what our natural abilities are. So in the natural, we all have certain abilities, certain things that we can do. But the anointing enables us to go beyond that. And we looked at examples through the Old Testament primarily. Several examples where people or groups of people were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do beyond what they could have done in their own natural abilities. In part 3 of this message, we talked about the fact that the anointing is tangible. The anointing is tangible. That means it's perceptible. You can recognize spiritually the presence and the moving and the stirring of the anointing. So we talked about the different ways in which we could recognize the anointing. Now that's important, because only when we recognize the presence and the working and the stirring of the anointing can we then flow with Him, move with Him, cooperate with Him. So we need to learn how to recognize the anointing. So the anointing is tangible. And last Sunday, Ram ministered, we learned about how to flow with the anointing. So when we recognize the anointing, we need to flow with Him. We need to cooperate with Him. You know, it's not like He wants to go one way and we go the other way. Then we're not going to accomplish things together. So you need to flow with the anointing. And we use analogies of flying a kite, where the kite is actually carried by the wind representing the Holy Spirit. We talked about surfing the wave, how the wave of the Spirit, as the Spirit is moving, you learn to catch the high point so He can take you forward into what He wants us to go into. So we talked about learning to flow with the anointing. Today, in part 5, we just want to bring our attention to several different things that the anointing does in us and through us. Just awaken us to that. The sermon title is focusing on one of these things, the anointing destroys the yoke, which will probably be the center focus of what we're talking about today. But there are several things that we want to look at today on what the anointing of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit does in us and through us. Just awaken, quicken our faith and say, look, this is what the Holy Spirit can do in you and do through you. To awaken us to that. Amen? Are you ready? So let's do that. So the anointing displays God's power through us, like we've already said. It's the Holy Spirit working through us causes the power of God to be displayed. The anointing results in the works of God and achieves the purposes of God. The anointing displays results in the works of God and achieves the purposes of God. So let's just itemize this. I've just put it in several points here. We'll go through it very quickly, but each of these will open up our understanding of what the anointing can do in us and through us. First thing we look at is the anointing births the supernatural. We've emphasized this in the past, earlier sermons, but just repeating it. It is the anointing that births the supernatural. Like we said, we all have certain capacities. We can do certain things. Good. But the anointing flowing through us takes us beyond that. Supernatural. We look at so many examples. Joseph could interpret dreams. Moses. Yeah, he was trained in all the knowledge and wisdom of Egypt. But the Spirit of God took him beyond that to do something he probably wasn't trained for. To lead a nation of estimated 3 million people out of bondage. I'm sure in all his learning and all his education in Egypt, he never learned that. How do you lead a people out of slavery into something more wonderful for them? Not trained in that, but the Holy Spirit empowered him to do it. And the Bible says that by the Spirit, Moses brought them out into where God wanted them. And so many examples. David, by the Spirit, he was able to design the temple. It wasn't his training, but the Holy Spirit helped him. So the Holy Spirit takes us beyond our own abilities. He causes the supernatural to take place. Similarly, the Holy Spirit causes signs and wonders to take place, the miracles of God to take place. So let's look at Romans 15, 18 through 19. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. In other words, I won't talk about things that have not actually happened. I'm going to speak the fact in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. Look at verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Zero in on verse 19. Mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So let's all say this together. Let's say together, God works mighty signs and wonders through me by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not our own ability. We know we are earthen vessels. Earthen vessels, marred, not perfect. But God works mighty signs and wonders through us. How? By the power of the Spirit of God. So have confidence in the power of the Spirit of God working through your life. Yeah, God, I acknowledge I am just an earthen vessel. We are just earthen vessels. It's not about us, but it's about the power of the Spirit of God working through us. Amen? And so mighty signs and wonders can take place through us. Next, the anointing causes lasting work. It's the anointing that causes lasting work to take place. Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. So at the end of the day, it's not my natural abilities, not the intelligence of our mind. It's not the eloquence of our speech. It's not our achievements, our degrees, our own capabilities. None of that is going to bring about life-changing, life-transforming, life-giving impact in the lives of people. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Of course, we all do our work. We do our part. But our dependence is on the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you don't flow through the sermon itself is not going to bless anybody. Lord, if you don't flow through whatever I do, it's not going to bless anyone. Because the flesh profits nothing. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through what God has given to us. That's what brings life. That's what brings permanent change. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, people remember. He said, my life is still affected. Why? Because it's the Spirit who gave life. The flesh didn't profit it. Listen, the flesh didn't do it. It's the Holy Spirit who gave life. Amen? So we depend on Him. We depend on the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you don't work, there's nothing that's going to happen. But when you're working, I know permanent change will come. Lasting change will come. Next, it's the anointing that brings healing and deliverance. It's the anointing that brings healing and deliverance. Now, in the Bible, we find both in the Old and the New Testament, God instructing His people to do something interesting. He tells them to anoint with oil. Anoint with oil. As long as we all get hung up, what oil? Olive oil, sunflower oil, coconut oil. What oil to use? We fight over those little things, you know. It's not about the oil. It's what the oil represents. That oil represents the Holy Spirit. And in the last sermon in this series, we got two more. On the seventh one, we'll be talking in detail on the anointing oil. It's just an amazing study. And we also see that in healing, the Bible teaches us to anoint with oil. And there's nothing about the oil, but it's about what the oil represents. So when we anoint with oil, we are saying, Holy Spirit, touch this person. That's what we are meaning. And we just look at one verse. There's so many, but James 5, 14 and 15, it says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The oil has no magical properties. The oil by itself doesn't have some medicinal value in general. But this one, when we do this, he says, you anoint with oil. That at that moment, in the name of the Lord, your anointing, well, it represents the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, touch this person. Touch this person. And the next verse says, the prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And if you've committed any sins, it'll be forgiven you. So the anointing brings healing, brings deliverance. The oil is only representing the anointing. Amen? And he tells us, you anoint with oil. That's saying, Holy Spirit, come and touch this person. Anyone can do it. Next. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. The anointing removes burdens, destroys yokes. We are familiar with the scripture, Isaiah 10, verse 27. The prophet Isaiah prophesied. He said, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The anointing oil in the Old Testament very clearly represents the presence of the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil. Now, what does Isaiah say? Isaiah was prophesying to the house of Judah. This is, you can read the whole chapter. And he was warning the house of Judah about the Assyrian king who was going to come and invade. And he was going to invade Judah, and he was going to put burden on them and put a yoke on them. But he said that won't last. He prophesied his yoke, his burden will be removed, his yoke will be removed and destroyed. Why? Because of the anointing, anointing oil, anointing. Now, how was this prophecy fulfilled? In 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire attacked the northern kingdom of Israel just overpowered them, conquered them. Some years later, in 701 BC, the Assyrian king, his name was Sennacherib, he came all the way to Judah. He conquered many of the towns and cities of Judah, and he came all the way to Jerusalem. Hezekiah was king of Judah at that time. And you read about this beautiful in 2 Chronicles 7:32. Hezekiah was king of Judah, and the prophet Isaiah both were there. They were two anointed people. The king, Hezekiah, the prophet, Isaiah. Amen. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came all the way to Jerusalem. He demanded, bounty to be paid. And Hezekiah paid that big burden. Okay. He asked, I'll give it. After receiving it, he said, I'm still going to come and destroy Jerusalem. Still going to come. And 2 Chronicles 32, Hezekiah encourages the people. He says, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. And think about that. It's a bold thing to say, because this king, I mean, he's conquered everybody else. You're the last one standing. And you're saying, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. And 2 Chronicles 32, I think it's verse 10. It's a beautiful picture. The prophet Isaiah and King Hezekiah prayed together. And when they did that, that night, God sent an angel. And in one night, over 180,000 soldiers of the king of Assyria were killed by the angel of God. And the king of Assyria, he retreated, and on his way back, he was killed by his own sons, assassinated. And that's how the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. His burden will be taken from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing at that time was on the prophet and the king. Are you with me? So that's the literal fulfillment of that verse. But there is a spiritual truth that still applies today. What does the anointing do? The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. Today we are not fighting physical battles. We don't necessarily have physical enemies. We are in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. When the enemy comes in, and sometimes he puts burdens, oppressions on the lives of people. He puts a yoke upon them, trying to, hold them captive. There is the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. Amen? You don't seem excited. And that anointing is on you. That anointing is on you. So let's all say this together. The burden removing, the yoke destroying, anointing of God is on me. Let's say it again. The burden removing, yoke destroying, anointing of God is on me. Amen. You're a carrier of that anointing. So wherever you find the enemy doing something, that's where you step in. Say, God, your anointing can remove the burdens. It can destroy yokes. Your anointing can do that. Amen. And God is saying, you are a carrier of that anointing. You go, you pray, you minister, you release. Next Sunday, we'll talk about how to release the anointing. That's very important. Right? So we're building up this whole study bit by bit. We'll learn how to release the anointing. How do you... So the anointing is tangible, but the anointing is also transmittable and transferable. We'll learn how to do that next Sunday. So, but you are the carrier of that anointing, and you can transmit, can release the anointing in order to remove burdens, destroy yokes. Next. The anointing causes the wilderness to become fruitful. The anointing causes the wilderness to become fruitful. Another powerful prophecy from Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. The prophet Isaiah prophesied. He foretold this. He said, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. So he prophesied. He said, look, the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us from on high. Now, most Bible scholars will look at this and look at Acts 2 as a fulfillment of Isaiah 32. The Spirit of God being poured out. But what I want to focus on is, what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes? What will happen? He said the wilderness will become fruitful. And what is fruitful will become like the forest, meaning it will become even more. That's what the anointing does. Now, you can imagine it literally, but it's speaking metaphorically. Literally, a wilderness, a barren land, dry land, wasteland, nothing's happening. When the Holy Spirit comes, it becomes fruitful. And what is fruitful becomes like a thick forest. What's he saying? When the Holy Spirit comes, what is dry, what is wasted, what is barren will become fruitful. So if there are areas in our own lives or in the lives of people that we are ministering to, what do we say? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Invite him. Because when the Holy Spirit is poured out from on high, the wilderness will become fruitful. And the fruitful land will become like a thick forest. Even better. Even better. This is the kind of transformation that will happen when the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. Are you all excited? I don't know. Okay. This is exciting. Just invite the Spirit of God. Or get into a place where the Spirit of God is moving. Come under him. Because when he comes upon us, the wilderness will become fruitful. What's fruitful will become even better. Next. The anointing is our defense. The anointing is our defense. Again, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 59 verse 19. He said, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's from the east. That means people all over the world will fear the Lord. And then he went on to say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Again, he's using imagery here. That means the enemy is coming and it looks like he's going to overwhelm you. He's going to you're gone. He's coming in like a flood. So it's when the enemy comes in like a flood, what will the Holy Spirit do? He is going to lift up a standard against you. Amen? Now we have to have faith in God. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. It's like, oh God, I'm going to run over. I'm going to drown. I'm going to be swept away. My life is in ruins. No. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you say, Holy Spirit, thank you. You raise up a standard against him. Say, devil, you think you can drown me? You think you can ruin me? The Holy Spirit raises up a standard against you. Say that boldly. Because that's what God said. Amen? So don't get fearful of the flood that seems to be churning against you. Don't get fearful of what seems to be stirring up against you. Be strong in what the Word of God says, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit raises up a defense. The Holy Spirit is your defense. The anointing is your defense. He says, you can't cross this. He's going to protect you. Just getting into the New Testament, we're going to look at a few things here. The anointing gives evidence to the resurrection. Acts 2, 32, 33, as Peter was preaching, he said, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you see, which you now see and hear. So Peter is saying, you know, because Jesus has gone into heaven, the Holy Spirit is here. In other words, the anointing, the Holy Spirit being here is an evidence that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen up to the Father's throne. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives evidence and conviction to the resurrection. Now here we are 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years post the resurrection. How come you and I are convinced about the resurrection? We weren't there. We didn't see it. It's the Holy Spirit who has given us that conviction. How is he going to give that conviction to somebody else? He's going to do it. It's not you and me. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to give that evidence and conviction to somebody else that they too will believe in the resurrection. Next. It's the anointing who brings conviction. In John 16 verse 8, you know, Jesus said, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So how is the unbeliever going to believe in Jesus? Sometimes we think, I got to beat him with the Bible. So you got to start beating somebody with the Bible, hoping they'll get convicted. No. When he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world, meaning the unbeliever, the unsaved. He will convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will convict them. The anointing on you causes conviction to come. So don't withdraw from the world. Don't go away from people in the world. God needs you there. Jesus said, I'm sending you into the world, right? We withdraw from worldliness, but we don't withdraw from the people of the world because you are a carrier of the anointing. And it's the anointing that brings conviction. So just be around them. Shake hands, smile, be there, because the anointing on you will convict them of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Just you being around them will convict them. I understand. So don't put the pressure on yourself. I have to convict them. You don't have to. It's the anointing, the Holy Spirit, who convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You are a carrier of that anointing. So be in the world there. Interact with people. Next. The anointing gives access to people's hearts. Worship team, please come. The anointing gives access to people's hearts. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. He said, writing to the Corinthians, he said, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. In other words, he's saying, look, you are in our hearts, and people can see that, you know, we have you in our hearts. Then he went on, verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. What does Paul say? Saying, you know, he's writing to the Corinthians, the people that he was ministering to, or he ministered to. And he says, you are a letter that was written. And we didn't write it with ink. It was not written by natural means, but by the Spirit of God. It was not written on stone, but it was written on your hearts. What's he saying? It was the Holy Spirit ministering through Paul and his team who enabled them to write into the very hearts of the people. Not by ink, not by natural means. So it wasn't our eloquence, it wasn't our intelligence, it wasn't our education, it wasn't our degrees. None of that enabled us to give us access into your hearts. It was the Spirit of God. Amen. So when we want to see change in the lives of people, I mean, yes, it's good, you know, to have your learning, your education, all of that is good. But remember, that does not give us access into the hearts of people. How can we write in their hearts the truth of God? It's by the Spirit of the living God. Not with ink. I mean, it's not by natural means, but by the Spirit. So it's this anointing that gives us access into the very hearts of people. You might speak simple words. You say, Lord, those words didn't sound great. Those words didn't sound big. It's okay. It's not about the words. It's about the anointing flowing through those words that can write the truth of those words in the hearts of people. So that wherever they go, they carry it with them. Amen? This is what the anointing does. One last thing. It is the anointing. The anointing brings life and healing where things are normally dead. The anointing brings life and healing where things are normally dead. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 10, the prophet Ezekiel is prophesying about the millennial temple. That means the temple which doesn't exist today, but will be set up during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the temple in Jerusalem. So he's prophesying about that. In Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 10, he says, there's a river that flows out of that temple. It flows eastward and it gets deeper and deeper as it flows, and it flows into the Dead Sea. Now the Dead Sea is dead. The saline content of that the Dead Sea is so great, nothing lives in it. It's dead. Nothing lives in it. But Ezekiel is prophesying. He says, a river will flow out of the temple in Jerusalem. It will flow all the way into the Dead Sea. And where the river flows, it will give life. And it will heal the Dead Sea. So much so that, oh, there will be lots of living creatures. I mean, all the fish will come back. So Ezekiel is prophesying. This is what's going to happen. Are you understanding? Yes. The river flowing out of the temple into the Dead Sea where not even one fish can survive. Suddenly it's going to be healed. The waters of that river will heal and life will be, there is a river, they'll be teeming with life. Wherever it goes, there will be healing and there will be life. Now, one thing in the Bible, what God speaks, what God foretells about Israel will be naturally fulfilled in Israel, but it's spiritually fulfilled in the church first. I can give you many examples. Today, the church is the temple of God. And there is a river flowing through the church, meaning through you and me. John chapter 7. Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So that picture of the millennial temple is today being fulfilled in the church. It's being fulfilled in you and me. There's a river of God flowing through us. And wherever the river flows, what is dead comes to life. Wherever the river flows, there is healing, there is life. Amen. So are there some dead seas around you? Maybe in your own life, maybe in the lives of people that you meet. What must we do? Oh God, let the river of the Holy Spirit flow into this dead sea. And wherever the river flows, said there will be life and there will be healing. Where not one fish can live, it's going to be teeming with life, he said. Amen? And that river is flowing through you, through me. Next Sunday we'll be talking, we'll learn about how to release the anointing. And how do I transmit? Because the anointing is only tangible, it's transmittable. That means what's in you can now come into somebody else. How do you do that? We'll learn next Sunday. But today, I want us to have confidence. I want us to have faith in the anointing. In the person, in the work, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We agree, we accept the fact that we are earthen vessels. It's not about us, but the power is from God's. And that anointing works in you, works through you. Amen. Just to quickly recap, the anointing displays God's power. The anointing results in the works of God and achieves the purposes of God. The anointing births the supernatural. The anointing causes lasting work. The anointing brings healing and deliverance. The anointing removes burdens, destroys yokes. The anointing causes the wilderness to become fruitful. The anointing is our defense. The anointing gives evidence to the resurrection. The anointing brings conviction. The anointing gives access to people's hearts. The anointing brings life and healing where things are normally dead. Amen? Let's rise to our feet, please. I want us to pray for two things. Two things. One, for your own self. If there are areas in your life that you need the Holy Spirit to do something, one of these things that we heard today, or the Holy Spirit does, or the anointing does, there's a Holy Spirit, I need that work in my own life. Maybe a dead sea that needs to come alive. Maybe a wilderness that needs to be made fruitful. Maybe a healing in your body, a healing in your mind. Maybe a burden that needs to be removed or a yoke that needs to be destroyed. If there's something in your own life, pray and ask, Holy Spirit, do this in my life. Second, I want you to have the confidence and say, Holy Spirit, it's not about me. It's not about me. But it's about what you do through me. Please use me to take this anointing and bless people around. The Holy Spirit is portrayed as a river that flows out of us, which means we bless others. So you pray, say, Lord, I'm just an earthen vessel. I know I have my weaknesses, I'm not perfect, but God, Let your anointing flow through my life. Bless people around me. In your place of work, in your school, your college, wherever you go, God, I'm ready to be a channel of your blessing, of this anointing, God, to those around me. We know we don't control it. We don't, you know, we are not dictating it, but we are vessels. We are channels. And he works as he desires. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, we just thank you for the word we've heard. Thank you that you just counted us worthy, God, to anoint us. Lord, let the Holy Spirit work through us. And Lord, we've heard all the wonderful things that will take place because of the Holy Spirit. And right here in this place, and even for those who are watching online, God, we ask that you will do these things right here. Do these things. We're going to take some time just to pray and minister to one another. We'll sing that song. We sang that earlier, anointing, fall on me. Right? So make it your little prayer. Say, Lord, I'm getting ready to minister to somebody here, so anointing fall on me, right? So we'll sing that song. That means you are getting ready to minister to somebody. And after we sing that song, I want you to really step out and do something, right? We're going to ask people after we sing that song, those who need prayer, maybe there is a wilderness in their life that they need to see turn into a fruitful land. Maybe there's a dead sea that they need to see healing and life being brought in. Maybe there is a burden that needs to be removed, a yoke that needs to be broken in their life, whatever. We're going to ask them to raise their hand, and I'm going to ask people around us and around them. After we sing this song, anointing, follow me, I want you to step out and say, okay, Holy Spirit, now let that anointing flow. Are we ready? Right, let's just be vehicles. We're just channels. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the anointing. It's about the Holy Spirit who does this. So I'm going to encourage all of us here to step out and just, you know, pray with somebody. Doesn't have to be some great fancy prayer. It could be just a simple prayer. Lord, please, you know, touch this person. Bless this person. You know, maybe two or three could, you know, you come around if there's just one person. Just pray and let the anointing do his work. Right in this place, burdens can be removed. Yokes can be broken. Dead seas can be turned to life. Wilderness can become fruitful. God can do so many things right here. Amen? Are we ready? So we're going to sing that song, and then let's just minister. Let the anointing flow. Let the anointing, let God the Holy Spirit do as he chooses in this place. Can we do that, please? Can we sing that? Sing it as a prayer. Amen. Amen. So, if you've come in this morning and you identified with one or more of these scenarios or situations we talked about, and you want people to pray with you just to release the anointing upon you, on your life, then I just want to request you to please raise your hand so we can come to you and pray for you. And if you need healing in your body, healing in your mind, maybe there's a wilderness that needs to become fruitful. Maybe a dead sea that needs to come alive. Maybe a burden that needs to be removed. A yoke that needs to be broken. Just put your hand up. Then I want to request people around. Just look around. See any hand that's raised. Go to them. Maybe two or three of you can gather around the same person. Just pray. And say, Lord, we release the Holy Spirit to touch this person. Go ahead. Let's minister. Because the Holy Spirit flows through his people. All right, so please put your hand up. You need prayer. You need prayer. Just put your hand up. Don't be shy. We are here to serve one another. And then I request people just look around, see people with a hand raised. Just go pray with them, minister to them. Let's do that. Let's do that. Be free to do it. Be free to do it. Be free. We're here to serve one another. We're here to just let the Holy Spirit do his work. So just go ahead and do that. Let's minister. We'll take a few moments just to minister to one another. And Lord, we just pray that even in this place, Holy Spirit, that you will move upon people, those with their hand raised, God, those who are with needs in this place, God, move in this place. Let the river of the Spirit flow. And wherever it flows, like your word says, there is life, there is healing. Even in this place, let the anointing destroy yokes. Let the anointing remove burdens. As we pray, as we minister to one another, even torments and mental oppression, let those things just be lifted. Holy Spirit, that you would move and just deliver people in this place. Deliver people. Set people free. Let the finger of God be pointed right exactly on those areas of need. Let the finger of God touch just the specific points that need to be touched in our lives this morning. Let the finger of God come upon people. God, point your finger exactly in those points of need in our lives. And even for those who are at home, wherever they are watching from, Lord, minister. Let them experience the flow of your Spirit. The power of your anointing, removing burdens, destroying yokes. People at home, you will experience, wherever you're watching, you will experience the power of the anointing touching you right where you are. There is no distance, there's no limit. Let the anointing of God touch you. Heal, deliver, remove burdens, destroy yokes. Turn the wilderness into a fruitful land. What's fruitful, make it even more plentiful. Turn dead seas into life. Right where you are. And even in this place, businesses that seem to be like a dead sea today, because people have prayed over you, that dead sea is going to teem with life. It's going to come alive. There's healing, there's life. Relationships that have just gone dry. Nothing seems to be there anymore. God will cause it to become fruitful, because only God can. What is barren, what is dry like desert land, the Holy Spirit comes upon and causes it to become fruitful. Father, we thank you that even in this place, you are releasing your works by the power of your Spirit. Let healing anointing flow. Let healing virtue flow. Let the anointing that breaks every bondage be released. Let people experience healing, deliverance. Thank you. Thank you. Before we close this morning, I want to give an invitation for people to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you've come into this place, maybe you've been coming, but you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to become your Lord, become your Savior. But this morning you feel that you want to do that. If you've never done this before, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. And you want to ask Jesus to come in, forgive you of your sins and make you a child of God. Then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me if you've never done this before. If you've never done this before and you feel like you need to do it today, just repeat this prayer with me. Join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me a child of God. And help me follow you and you alone the rest of my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is anyone here? You prayed this prayer with me for the first time. We want to celebrate with you. We also want to make sure you get a bag of resources that you can take back with you. So if you prayed this prayer with me for the very first time, can I see your hand, please? Anybody here in this auditorium, you prayed this prayer with me for the very first time to receive Jesus into your life. Anyone here, can I see your hand? Just wave it at me, please. Anyone here? Anyone? Okay. I don't see any hand. That's all right. Okay. Before we close, as we were praying, as we were ministering to one another, did anybody here, you experience something right here, right now? I know some things we need to go and we'll see it over time. We'll see situations change over time, so on and so forth. But is there something that happened to you right here as you were being prayed for, ministered to? Can I see your hand? Can you just wave it at me? So one, anybody else? Two, three, praise God. Anyone else? I see some hands at the back. Four, five, all right, six, seven, yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Seven, eight, nine, okay, so I'm not going to take, you know, we're not taking everyone to come take the testimony. We're just saying that they felt something happen, amen? Now, of course, the fruit will come over time. We will see the fruit of what happened today, and then you're most welcome to email a testimony. Let us know what God has done, and from time to time we'll read out those testimonies anonymously to share it with the church. But if something's happened, feel free to send an email, share your testimony, and we can share it with the congregation. Amen. All right, so we'll get ready to close. Next Sunday we'll talk about how to release the anointing. Right? How can we transmit this and minister to others? We'll learn some practical things how to do it. But I want all of us, have confidence in the Holy Spirit in you, working through you. Go and be a blessing. Go and be a blessing to other people. All right, let's close, please. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit continue with each of us always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.